As we've heard through that lovely song, Psalm 91, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And Lord, we do. Father, we thank you for your wings, where you protect and preserve us, Father, from the evil one, from the enemy, from the predator, and those things that would try to devour us. But Lord, we have the wonderful privilege of being able to come into your presence, because there is fullness in your presence. There is joy in the Lord. And Father, may your word minister to our hearts, that we may be able to be faithful, to endure and overcome. For this we ask now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, I'm continuing with these studies, Standing Against the Devil by Prayer. Standing against the devil by prayer. Because Jesus said, my house is a house of prayer. And prayer is absolutely vital for us to be able to stand and overcome, for the bride to make herself ready for the coming of the Lord. Praise his name. Well, we're taking it up in the fourth area. If you remember, we left off last time where we said, command him to depart in the name of Jesus. That is the enemy. We're not to be gentle or fearful of him. We are to command him. And that is a sort of military definition. A command, to obey that command when it is given from a general or whatever. And so it is exactly the same with the authority that has been invested, given to us through the name of Jesus. We command him to leave. But all of that is recorded for you to be able to listen to on our website. So we're continuing this with the fourth area of standing against the devil by prayer. And we're basing this from Ephesians 6. And as it says in Ephesians 6 and verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. So we're seeing that the armor is vital, important, but he emphasizes above all taking the shield of faith. So it comes back again to believing. That is the above all, is having faith, not doubting, but believing, which is the shield of faith. That shield covers the whole of the armor from the top of the head to the soles of the feet. That was the shield that the Roman centurions used to fight with. That protected them from most of the fiery darts. And it's the same with us. And what does that? Our simple, childlike faith, believing in the promises of God. Him, in other words, his faithfulness. So he says, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. So our faith, our trust, our belief in God's word, his promises, quenches those darts that try to penetrate the shield and the shield of faith. Our faith is that shield that protects the whole person. Above all with that, we also take the sword of the Spirit, as we see verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts, wickedness in heavenly places. And then he tells us in verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So with our faith, our belief comes confession, Romans 10. And that confession is the promises, the word of God, that we use with that shield, believing. We use the word of God in which the enemy departs. That is how Jesus overcame his temptations with scripture in the wilderness. That was his trying, that was his testing. And God is going to test us with the word of God that you are to learn in your prayers, in your overcoming life. We are to quote this word against the enemy, and he has to leave, he has to let go. He tried it with Satan, he tried it with the Lord, he came three times trying to get him to bow down and worship him, to compromise, but the Lord didn't give in because his faith was in God's word, not in himself, not his own ability, not his own strength or what he thought he knew. No, he quoted the word. And this is why God humbles us like he does, so that it's not in our pride, in our efforts, in our strength, in our knowledge. It comes as we quote God's word. That is our dependence. My life, my future, my destiny is dependent upon God's word. Not how much I know of it, and we should know it. Not at all. It's my dependence upon his word, his promises, his faithfulness. That is what it means, and that's what our Lord, he trusted in his Father in the Word. We know this because he came, he emptied himself. He took upon the role of a slave, a servant, in his flesh. And there he was tempted and tried in the wilderness for 40 days. And God does the same with us, because he wants you to know that power in his word. He wants you to know the sharpness of that sword, the word of God, against the enemy. How will you know otherwise? So many today just talk about it. But unless God takes us into the wilderness where we're going to be tested, we will never know. We will be of no use. We're not really employment. We're not employable. You see, God's employing now into the vineyard the overcomers who will work, who will be trained, who will be productive. That's the call of the deeper life. And we have to be effective against the powers of darkness. And this is why we're teaching you in prayer how to pray. And our effectiveness has got to work in every facet and area of our life. Yes, when I'm tempted, when the enemy becomes vocal in the mind and we start listening to his lies, his suggestions, we have to rise up with the sword of the Spirit, because he's out to try and deceive us, and he knows our weak areas where he tries to work, you see. He's a master at that. And this is where we have to be effective in our warfare, in prayer, against those things that are attacking us, against areas physically, in healing. We're to rise up with the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith, and address those sicknesses, to go, to command them to leave in the name of Jesus. They don't belong to us. But we start to listen, we start to entertain. The same where we're buffeted in various areas. Maybe you're having trouble with the children, or there's bills that are piling up to be paid. All the things that we're facing now in life, because we know that everything is going up and up and up. It's becoming crazy. We're living in crazy times now. Everything is being shaken. It doesn't matter what it is. And this is where we have to be effective in our prayers, using the Word of God, the promises of God's Word, the sword of the Spirit in prayer against these hindrances. God is shaking the heavens and the earth so that the church, the overcomers, will get themselves prepared and ready. That's a lot of what this shaking is about, because he says judgment begins first in the house of God, you see. And then God will judge the world at that right time. But at the moment, he's working on us. And we have to stand upon these promises. We have to make them ours. They are given to us. Let me just remind some of these things that God has said that you're forgetting, FGA. For example, in Psalm 103 and verse 3. Psalm 103 and verse 3. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals just some of your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction. Oh, I got it wrong there, didn't I? No, who heals all your diseases. But do we believe that? Are we using the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, against the powers of darkness, against our family, against our children, in prayer? Not always, are we? Because we listen to the devil's lies. What did Isaiah say? The most famous verse and chapter in the Bible. Isaiah 53 verse 4. Isaiah 53 verse 4. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Not were healed or could be healed. We are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And there he gives the problem. We've all gone astray. Why? Because we listen to the lies of the devil. We're not using the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith, believing, commanding the enemy to leave. Because we're not in prayer as we should be. We react more than we act. Prayer is acting. Not praying is reacting. And that's what we do. And we wonder why things don't happen, why things don't change, and we become depressed, we become down, despondent. We are our own worst enemy because we're not doing what God is showing us to do. What does it say in James 5? And verse 15, James 5 and verse 15, you all know these very, very well. We preached on these many times over the years. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. There is the mercy and grace of God. He's absolutely clear and positive on this. Notice it's the prayer of faith, the shield of faith, using the sword of the Spirit. It's part of the armor that we use in prayer and intercession. So here we are, fourthly, is using that shield of faith, which is the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. Doesn't matter how you feel. Doesn't matter what you think about it. It's what God says. And he asks us to simply believe with that childlike faith. And that's why faith comes by hearing the word of God, Romans 10:17. This is how you get it. You see, God knows how to pierce into the heart of man. You see, when the Lord speaks like he does, the devil can't do this. Sin can't do this. Only God's word can go deep into the heart of man and woman. And you know when God speaks, because it pierces deep. That is the seed being sown into the heart. Now, the responsibility of that is whether we protect that, we keep that there in the heart through prayer, through the word, through coming meetings like this, or we allow the predator to come in and rob and take that seed from the heart. You have that responsibility. God isn't going to do that for you. He provides it. The seed of the word is there. It's whether we want it planted in the heart or not. It's whether it's his will or our will. We have a choice, brothers and sisters, you see. And if you have tasted that the Lord is good, then you simply want more and more of it. You know that it's right. You know that he's ministering eternal life to us. Because this is about our future. It's about where we're going to be in eternity, whether it's in heaven with him or separated from him in hell. That's why we always have a choice, our free will. And God never, ever hinders that free will. He won't even let the devil touch the free will in making that choice. It's when we make the wrong choice, does the powers of darkness then get in? And then he will start to work on your will. You see? That's why so often I see when the word of God is presented to us, and it's also presented to me, I always, through each teaching, find myself standing at a crossroads. Which course do I take? Which direction? Because God's showing. And in his mercy, we take that right direction. We take that step towards Jesus. Every meeting, every word that we have, each sermon each week is a choice whether we take that right step towards Jesus or not. That is our free will that God has given. So there we are, using the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit. And fifthly, looking at this with regard to standing against the devil by prayer, that's what we're talking about. Fifthly, we resist Satan by faith. We resist him by faith. You see, we're in a spiritual warfare, and we're told to resist Satan. And he's going to come periodically, and God gives him the access. He will allow him to come and try and challenge your faith, your belief. And we see this in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 9. 1 Peter, well, we'll take it actually from verse 8 and 9. And he says here in 1 Peter 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So he says quite clearly, don't be flippant. Don't take this lightly. Don't think, oh, well, I've got all authority over Satan. He can't touch me. And I hear so much of that from Christians. It says, no, be sober, be vigilant. This is a warning. Don't mess about. Don't take it lightly. Don't be flippant. Because the enemy walks around like a roaring lion, devouring whom he may. It says, resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So we're told to resist him, to be steadfast. In other words, immovable, not changing. You've taken it seriously because others go through the same sufferings and trials also. You know, one of the things that if you are really walking with God, when you see a brother or sister going through a real trial, you identify with that. You know what that is about. You are aware what God is allowing that brother or sister to go through. And that is what makes our prayers and intercessions effective. We're also standing with them, identifying with them. You too are getting in warfare for your brother or sister because you are aware the enemy's there trying to trick them, trying to deceive them. And you've gone through that yourself. And this is what makes our prayers effective. It's not enough just to say to a Christian, oh, the Lord's faithful, he'll bring you through. Well, God may be requiring of you to stand in the gap and pray and come against the powers of darkness that are trying to deceive that brother or sister. That is what body ministry is about. That is what the church is about. And so we're called then in warfare to resist Satan. How do we do this further? Well, Jesus had something to say about this in Matthew 26, verse 41. Matthew 26 and verse 41. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And that's what he was saying to the disciples who were going to sleep on him at the night of his betrayal. He said, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. So he says, not only do we pray, but prayer also makes us spiritually watchful, discerning the times and the seasons that we're in. So many Christians are asleep. They have such little discernment. They cannot read the signs and the times that we live in. They're those foolish virgins who are asleep, when we should be those five wise that are awake with our extra vessel of oil. The five wise virgins were also saints who prayed, because that enables us to be able to resist the enemy. If you're watchful, you see what the enemy is up to. God opens your eyes to see what he's doing. so that it makes you effective in prayer. There are a lot of Christians who don't wake up until the enemy's got into the camp and doing his devilish work that he does. And they wake up, oh, what's happened? What's going on? Why did this happen? Well, it happened because you're not watching and praying. We are at times our own worst enemy. And if you battle in prayer, which most Christians do, then ask God to help you. Call upon him. He'll move, he'll work. If you want to be a saint who prays and intercedes, I'll tell you, your Heavenly Father will move whatever it takes. He'll remove whatever obstacle it is to get you into prayer and intercession. We're without excuse, brothers and sisters, because it's the Holy Spirit who's come to lead, to guide and teach us to take over. So we're without excuse. We can't keep saying, well, my life, my circumstances won't allow me to do these things. We're without excuse. Our God moves heaven and earth, particularly to get a church that prays and intercedes. It's so lax today in the house of God. It's only always a few that are willing to pray. The rest of the church are not bothered. What does it say in James 4 and verse 7? James chapter 4 and verse 7. Therefore submit to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. There we are. That is how we resist the devil. Submit to God. Then you resist the devil and he will flee from you. What does it mean to submit? It means to obey. It's a military term. I'm submitting in my training. I'm being trained to obey. That's what the Holy Spirit does with us. And he says, when you bow the knee to this, when you stop fighting, resisting God, then the devil will flee from you. And that means when he flees from you, he's also afflicting physical things on you, as well as spiritual, or those things around you, or what it seems you put your hands to doesn't seem to be blessed. That's what it means. And it means when you submit, when you surrender, you humble yourselves, then the enemy flees and you will be shocked how much access he's had into your life. Because you've allowed him. And then you draw near to God. He will draw near to you. There's relationship. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Because God is going to expose those things that are unclean with us, that are not pleasing in his sight. God is interested what we say, what comes out of our mouth, how we dress, how we come over. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. With the power that lifted Christ from the dead, that raised him up into glory, is the same power that lifts and raises you up. Because that is where you're to be seated, with Christ in heavenly places, not in this world. That is how we resist Satan, by faith. And we're to walk in the Spirit. This is how you walk in the Spirit. So many Christians do not really understand what it means to walk in the Spirit. They're so worldly. They live and act like the world. What does it say? Galatians 5, 16. Galatians 5 and 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And that's what Christians want. They want the Lord, but they still want the lusts of the flesh. Why? Because their flesh life is not being crucified daily, which we're to take up our cross. And there's the problem. And this can and will be achieved and when you start having a prayer life and getting into spiritual warfare. Give no place for the enemy. These can only be accomplished in a prayer life. Ephesians 6, let's turn back to it. Verse 10. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of your might, your will. No, the power of his might. Everything is in him. You cannot save yourself. It is the mercy and grace of God. So your strength lies in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. You see, you cannot put on that armor unless you are in the power of his might. It is his might. It is his armor that we put on. And it is the grace and mercy of God. And when you understand verse 10, then you will begin to understand the rest of the verses from 11 to 18 about your spiritual armor, which we're basing our teachings on this. And you will understand, as it says then in verse 18, praying always with all prayer, supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. This is why it tells us in Thessalonians to be in prayer, constantly in prayer, or in the attitude of prayer, 24/7. So whatever situation, I can turn into prayer. I can turn it into prayer. And that's why you're baptized in the Holy Spirit and speak with those languages that you can start praying before God. You can do it when you're driving the car. You can do it when you're behind the sink washing up or preparing cooking or cleaning the house or going to work. Or you can just, when you're at work, just pop quickly into the cloakroom and have prayer. The Holy Spirit will make all of that available so that our lives are in that attitude, in prayer, ready to pray. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Many times I find myself going into prayer during the course of the day. Why? Because I ask God to do it in me. Because it's right. And it's what glorifies him. It's what pleases him. It's not about me, what I want. My life is dead in Christ. It's hidden in him. And some of you still don't know that yet. You're still wanting your own way. And it doesn't work. And you become more oppressed, more unhappy, unfruitful, and things aren't working out right. As I say, it's not rocket science. It's where our hearts are. And our hearts are still too much in this world. We want to act and be and look like this world. And we're not. With God's called out peculiar treasure set apart unto him. That's what we are. He says, put on the whole armor. This is what the armor is about. You see, we've got to understand that the devil was defeated at Calvary and has no place in our lives. No place in our home, no place in our family, no place in our church, no place in where I work. We have to rise up and take that authority. We tell him he's trespassing. He's on God's property. Have you ever thought of that? I belong to him. I am God's property. He now owns me. He has purchased me with a price. Therefore, he is trespassing on God's property because I belong to him. He has no right to invade your domain, my domain. And we resist him. We tell him to leave. We command him in Jesus' name. That's why we stand against the devil by prayer and intercession. And that's why he's making us men and women who pray, who use this word against the powers of darkness, against your family, against the afflictions. The enemy is out trying to destroy our loved ones, our family. You can see it. God has given you that authority in the word. In prayer. And in time, the enemy will release his hold. He has to. That is why the enemy could not hold our Savior when he was put on that cross. He tried every way to try and hold him, bind him down, but he couldn't. He was that pure, holy sacrifice because he was to destroy death. He was to destroy the hold of the enemy and now give it back to the church, you and I. And he's teaching us how to use this, how to wield that sword, how to bring and claim back what is God's property. You are his property. You have been purchased with a price. So he has no right to invade your domain. Don't let him do it anymore, saints. Praise God. Well, I trust you've been blessed. I trust the word of God has spoken, as it surely has to me. And let us rise up and become those warriors, those intercessors. Start to pray. And you will see the enemy's hold releasing. I can assure you. In Jesus' name. I base my ministry on it. I know it in my own life. And don't let him succeed anymore. Enough is enough, saints.